2 pitch soft away and driven up the right center field gap. That's a base hit and goes all the way to the fence. That's going to bring home at least two. Getting the wave home is Youkilis. Here's Bonifacio's throw to the plate and the slide coming in to score. Youkilis on a 3-run double to right center field by Juan Rivera. And the Yankees draw first blood here, leading 3-0 in the fifth.
That's got to hurt a little bit for people who watched the Blue Jays a couple of years ago and saw Juan Rivera commit spring training to the extent that he did and then play the first couple of months of the season with the Blue Jays before getting shipped off. Rivera with a 3-run double off of Brett Cecil, part of a 2-for-3 day for him. The only runs of the ball game, the Yankees beat the Blue Jays 3-0 despite being out hit 7-5. J-Hap starts the game, goes 3 1/3 innings of 4-hit shutout, leaves with men at 2nd and 3rd and 1 out in the top of the 4th, and Brett Cecil comes in and gets out of that jam, striking out Melky Mesa, and then after a walk to Thomas Neal, Mark DeRosa makes a sensational defensive play on Jose Perella, but the bases loaded in the top of the 5th, 2 walks, around an error by Mike McCoy on what should have been a double play. And then that 3-run double by Rivera for all the scoring in the game. 3-0 the final. The Blue Jays fall to 7-8-1 on the spring. The Yankees up to 4-11 on the spring. The Jays have shut the Yankees out twice. And in 27 innings they've played against them, the Yankees have not scored in 26 of them. The story today, Jay Happ and his outing and the fact that he is ticketed to AAA Buffalo to be their opening day starter. Spoke to Happ after the game, and his frustration clearly showed, though he held his tongue and he made sure he didn't say any of the things that I felt like he really wanted to say. But he knows he's a Major League starting pitcher, and so does everybody else. The problem is the Blue Jays just have 5 starting pitchers who are ahead of him. And chances are he's going to spend a lot of time on the big league roster. Also, of course, World Baseball Classic, winner take all, Canada against the United States. They are about to get underway in Phoenix. Jameson Taillon on the hill for Team Canada. He's one of the best pitching prospects in all of Major League Baseball. He's facing lefty Derek Holland of the United States. And again, winner advances, loser is out. You can watch the game on Sportsnet, but stick with us here for the Blue Jays talk until the bottom of the hour. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's start things off with Nathan in Toronto, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Nathan, what's up?
Go, Jays, go. You know, it's good to see them get the work in spring training, no matter what the result. I want to talk about the WBC. I'm proud of our boys yesterday, the way they acted in that moment with the Royal Rumble. It was great to see. I hope they rally today and beat Team USA. That's all I got to say, bud.
That's beautiful. Thank you very much. I agree with you. I think that I'm very proud of what we saw from Team Canada in the 9th inning against Mexico yesterday. Yes, Chris Robinson bunted with a 6-run lead, but the World Baseball Classic sets up the rules so that piling on is a necessity, especially with Canada coming into that game having been mercied the day before. They needed as many runs as they could possibly have gotten for that potential tiebreaker, and they didn't know who the potential tiebreaker might have been with. So absolutely, the role of Team Canada in that situation in the 9th inning yesterday is to score as many runs as it possibly could, hopefully to score more than 4, so that Mexico had the bottom of the 9th and the mercy rule did not apply. As many runs as Canada could have scored would all have counted in their column. So, yeah, that's what you do. You try to score runs. And I know that Jose Bautista has argued against it. There's a story in the Toronto Star on their website that Bautista said no matter what, there are still unwritten rules. And I was talking to Sergio Santos about it today as well, and Santos said the same thing. You don't do that in a game. But when a tournament sets up its rules to encourage that, that's what you do, especially when you're a team like Canada that got knocked out on run differential in 2006. They wound up in a 3-way tie with the United States and Mexico. They lost on run differential. So why wouldn't they try to score as many runs as possible. And Luis Cruz, I mean, the fact that he wasn't disciplined, I understand the World Baseball Classic saying we don't want to suspend anybody because Mexico's done and Canada has a chance to advance, so it's not fair that way. But you see Luis Cruz playing third base there, motioning to his pitcher, hit the next guy. How do you not suspend a guy for that? That it's just ridiculous. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. And if there's anyone out there who wants to talk about that, who wants to talk about this Ricky Romero debate, it's insane the amount of hate that's coming out on Twitter towards Ricky Romero and the short memories of some of the Twitterers out there. Ricky has not had a great spring training. Spring training doesn't mean anything. Nothing at all. So the fact that Ricky got roughed up yesterday and J-Hap pitched well today doesn't mean that J-Hap should make the team over Ricky Romero. This guy was an all-star in 2011. He had a very good year in 2010, good year in 2009. People really have to climb off Ricky Romero's back. It's getting ridiculous. Let's go down to Little Rock, Arkansas, listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Richard, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for
calling.
I'm a
little disappointed I was supposed to be there.
But what happened?
Well, the grandson, he had his grades drop and he couldn't get time off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well.
Hit the books, grandson.
Yes, well, that's what he's doing.
Oh, good.
But I wanted to talk about Ricky, but not on the way you're saying. You know, we all know it's all mental, or a lot mental. Is it likely to get in his head, this trouble he's having? And, you know, cause him to overdo or overtry?
I think, first of all, I think the whole this trouble he's having is overstated. I mean, he gave up, he walked three guys yesterday, and he gave up a home run. He pitched out of a jam with minimal damage. He had five base runners on in the second inning yesterday against the Tigers, and he gave up one run, and he should have been out of the inning, but an error behind him. The last time out that Ricky Romero pitched, he threw two innings, and he gave up one hit, and it was because of the wind. It was a fly ball that the wind grabbed and took into the corner for a triple. Nobody scored. He didn't give up anything. That was his second start, his first start of the spring. Again, a double play that's not turned behind him, and he winds up giving up a two-run homer. I really don't get the whole he's having a terrible spring thing. He's not.
Well, he in his interview sort of implied he was unhappy with himself.
Well, nobody's going to be happy with himself when he gives up, when he walks three guys and throws 47 pitches in two innings.
That's true. The guy to watch, I think, this year is Brandon Morrow. He was a Cy Young candidate until he got hurt last year.
I agree with you 1,000%.
I mean, I
the Blue Jays added. Yeah, no, neither would I. And
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just surprised if he's not high up on the list for Cy Young this year.
Well, there's no real list of Cy Young before
the
year starts.
High in the voting.
There's no voting either. People make their predictions, but predictions are worth far less than the paper that they're printed on or the gigabytes that you use to see them on the internets or whatever. But I've talked to people from other cities who are stunned that Brandon Morrow is getting the second start of the season and that he's not the fourth starter. I believe, and I've said this before, I believe that when it's all said and done, Brandon Morrow is going to have the best year of everybody in the Blue Jays starting rotation, which is not to say that I don't think the rest of them are going to have good years. I do. I think Brandon Morrow is going to be, he's going to take another huge step in his advancement into acedom this year. George is in Kitchener listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, George.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing today?
Good. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Nice to be here. Yeah, I got to agree. It's kind of a nice problem to have with extra starting pitching and trying to figure out where to place them. That's not a big deal. I mean, whether he pitches second or fourth, by the time you run through a few times, it's not going to make a difference. But the reason I was calling was I remember last year it kind of bugged me a bit that, you know, Jose Bautista wouldn't get a call at the plate, and then he kind of complained about it, and he did it over and over again. And was happy to hear about it. I think it was about a week ago, there was an article how John Gibbons was, I think he talked to him about that, and I think that's going to improve the team, because thinking about last year how, you know, Jose acted that way at certain times when he wasn't getting his call, and then you think about how it might rub off on a young guy like Brett Laurie, and I think it might help the team with, if they treat the umpires with respect to a certain degree. I think I remember seeing, I think it was Derek Jeter, he didn't get a call he wanted to, and he basically just quietly asked the ump what was going on, and I think as Jose gets, you know, more mature with that, you know, role as a leader, you'll understand the importance of that kind of stuff.
I hope so. I agree with you. It became unseemly at times last year, and you know, the whining, the complaining, it was incessant from Bautista, and it was way too much. And so he did calm down as the season progressed, but John Gibbons has talked to him, and he's been great so far this spring, at least since that story came out. He's been great. And you know, it's just it's not befitting a big league player to act like that. So I'm glad. And I think that, you know, the rest of the team improving around him will have an effect on that too, that he's not going to feel as much pressure. I have a feeling some of those blow-ups are as much about him not doing what he wants to do with a particular pitch than they are about the calls that are being made against him. So hopefully we see a much calmer Jose Bautista at the plate this year. Absolutely.
I think so. I mean, I would imagine, like, if he was having nagging injury with himself, like, I mean, the year before he batted really, really well. So, I mean, it could have just been a frustration of, like, I'm not hitting the way I want to. And the person closest to complain of, or the blame, is the ump there. One other thing I was just wondering about was just with spring training in general, like, you have different, you have split squads and all that kind of stuff. Like, and you have your major league umps. Like, what do they do to fill the void with the extra umps you'd need? We're calling games.
They use extra umpires. There are guys who aren't on major league crews who work spring training games all the time. It's kind of an audition. It's a chance for them to make an impression, much like it is a chance for players to make an impression. There, two of the four umpires working today are not full-time major league umpires. It happens all the time in spring training.
All right, thanks, Mike. Have a great afternoon.
All right, thanks. Appreciate the call. And the Blue Jays are just announcing now that Evan Crawford and A.J. Jimenez have been optioned to AA New Hampshire. So a couple more cuts for the Blue Jays today. Evan Crawford and A.J. Jimenez, neither of whom were going to make the team anyway. Nevin is in Toronto. Nevin, listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, our flagship station. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. I'm just wondering, how can you say to keep Ricky Romero up? Jay Happ's pitching great, and to me, a win in April is just as good as a win in September. And all these projections are projecting, between 80 and 89 wins for all the teams in the AL East. So you got to take the wins when you can get them.
A win in April is worth just as much as a win in September, but a win in March is worth nothing. And it doesn't matter how guys look in spring training very often. It doesn't mean anything.
This is a whole year-long process with Ricky, though. When's the last time he pitched really well?
Last September.
For a very short period of time. I've seen quite a bit from J.A. Happ. I think he's a solid fifth starter. I don't know what Ricky's problem is right now, though.
Ricky's problem is that he walked three guys yesterday, and everybody's ready to, tie cement blocks to him and throw him off the Sunshine Skyway. That's what Ricky's problem is.
How long can you hold on to Ricky Romero? Like, want to give him five or six starts to prove that he can start? How long do we keep him in the rotation if he keeps proving that he can't win games?
What is this? He keeps proving that he can't win games. Where are you coming up with this?
He was the worst pitcher in the American League last year. The worst starting pitcher in the American League.
I don't know if that's true. He may have had the worst ERA in the American League, or it was close to it. But yes,
his WAR was horrible last year.
Don't come to me with WAR unless you can explain it.
I can explain wins above replacement. His WAR was beyond horrible.
Can you define the formula for WAR? Do you know what goes into it?
Oh, I can't explain.
Do you tell me how it's calculated?
WAR stands for, but
okay, right. And everybody knows what WAR stands for. If you can't tell me how the formula is calculated, you cannot use it in an argument. That's just one of the things that just, to me, makes sense. As far as Ricky Romero goes, you're right. He had a terrible year last year. No one is denying the fact that he had a terrible year last year. What amazes me is that it's as though the 3 years prior to that didn't happen. Or it's as though he's some 40-year-old at the end of the road who had a terrible year and now he's done. How can you completely ignore the 3 years prior to last season?
Well, you can't completely ignore those.
Well, you
three
are
seasons,
though.
But
you're completely ignoring
situation.
Them. Uh huh.
With all the trades Anthopoulos has made, it's a win now situation. And I think Jay Happ
right
now is going to get you more wins than Ricky Romero is on the mound.
Because Jay Happ's having a better spring.
It's not because Jay Happ's having a better spring. Well, it's partly because Jay Happ's having a better spring.
It's completely. Don't kid yourself. It's completely because Jay Happ's having a better spring. Because you look back at what Jay Happ did last year when he had a ERA of 4.80, which was just a couple of points below Ricky Romero, a WHIP of 1.4. He had a 5.35 ERA the year before that and a 15.35 WHIP. So there is no argument to be made that it's not just based on what Romero did last year and this spring, because Jay Happ was only marginally better than Ricky Romero was last year.
All right, well, thanks, Mike. Have a good one.
All right, appreciate the call. But it's killing me all day with this Happ versus Romero thing. There is such a thing as going with your guys. There is such a thing as loyalty. There's such a thing as having a guy who was an all-star 2 seasons ago and one of the best pitchers in the American League and not cutting bait on him completely because he has a crappy year. He was a Blue Jays' number one starter last year, Ricky Romero. He's their number 5 this year. That's a massive drop-off. There is no way he should be starting the season in AAA. And it doesn't matter what happens in spring training. It really doesn't. Spring training doesn't mean a thing. You can wrap yourself in circles trying to convince yourself that Jay Happ deserves more rope than Ricky Romero. But honestly, someone's going to have to make a compelling argument to convince me. Hasn't happened yet. And please, again, there is some value in war as a statistic. There is. It is not the be-all and end-all. And if you can't tell me how it's calculated, you can't use it in an argument. That is the rule on the Blue Jays talk. It is nothing-nothing, Canada and the United States, as they play in the bottom of the first inning. One out, nobody on. Canada is the home team in this game. The winner moves on now. Two out, nobody on. The winner moves on to round two, joining Italy, Puerto Rico, and the Dominican Republic. The loser goes home. It is the Blue Jays talk. The Blue Jays falling 3-0 to the New York Yankees. We're going to step away for a second, and when we continue, we will hear from today's Blue Jays starting pitcher, Jay Happ, and what he had to say to the assembled media after the game. It is the postgame on the Blue Jays Radio Network. Welcome back to The Face. In the wake of a 3-0 loss for the Toronto Blue Jays to the New York Yankees, the Jays fall to 7-8-1 on the spring. Juan Rivera's 3-run double off Brett Cecil in the top of the fifth inning for all the scoring in this one. Jay Happ got the start, and he went 3 1/3 shutout innings, allowed 4 hits, walked 1, struck out a pair. But we all know he is ticketed for Buffalo, where he will be their opening day starter, even though John Gibbons still saying for public consumption that they're considering him for a bullpen spot. They're not. He's going to be in Buffalo so that he can stay stretched out in case they need him, because that's what he's there for. He's the best insurance policy in Major League Baseball. Canada, by the way, goes down in order in the bottom of the first, top of the second now in Phoenix. It is nothing-nothing, the USA and Team Canada in the winner-take-all game over in Phoenix at the World Baseball Classic, which you can see on Sportsnet. Jay Happ, after the game, met with us, and here's what he had to say.
Seem like that's an outing you'd be pretty happy with?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, Pete's been preaching attack and expand. I wanted to go in there and try to continue to throw strikes, so I was happy about that.
Is it weird for you to be facing the same team in every one of your starts?
I noticed after he drew it up for the first couple of weeks that was the way it was going to fall, but try not to think about that stuff too much, but definitely seen quite a bit of them so far.
What was working for you pitch selection-wise?
I was trying to work on a two-seam fastball today. Felt like I'm getting more consistent with that, so we end up throwing that quite a bit.
Frustrating at all having to come out. I guess you ran up against your pitch count, but just when you got in a bit of that jam, it looked like you were a little frustrated that you couldn't get it out yourself.
Yeah, I guess I really didn't know where I was pinch count wise, but definitely you always like to try to get out of those yourself. But Cease came in and did a great job, and D-Row made a great play as well. So glad to get out of there.
Is the situation you're in frustrating at all to you?
Yeah, it's very frustrating. I'm trying to, you know, I told myself a couple of things before coming into camp that I would try to stay as positive as I could and just kind of let things play out. So I'm trying to do that. You know, I know there's other people in the stands as well, so I'm trying to just keep my routine and we'll see what happens.
Have they told you anything differently than prior to coming into camp about your status?
No.
Do you expect them to, or
I hope
disappointment that they haven't?
Oh no, I mean I guess nothing new on that front. I've had conversations with them. They were, you know, we haven't been ignoring each other, but I don't know how much more needs to be said. But I think here, you know, as we go along, I'm sure we'll have another conversation in the next, 10 days or so. But I'm not sure.
What would you hope to come out of that?
You know, I don't know. Let's just see what happens. I don't know.
You had a pretty good outing today. You look good. You've been pitching. I'm sure you're doing what you want to do. Does that add to the frustration of the situation because you are probably performing up to your standard?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I hope to obviously continue that. But, you know, I think it's not like they don't know what I'm capable of doing at the same time. So, you know, I don't feel like a huge amount of pressure on every outing. Obviously, I want to do well and continue to be sharp. I think that's what everybody's trying to do. But I don't think I'm a complete unknown as far as every outing kind of hanging in the balance of the results.
Focusing on the two seamer today, was that different than your past outings? That was kind of your main focus for today.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had some success and we tried to stay with it. You know, Josh called a good game back there, and we were on the same page and for the most part. And I've been working on different things in the bullpen. You know, Pete, we've been trying to get the tempo right a little bit quicker without rushing, and I felt like I was doing that while still staying on top of the ball and staying tall on the mound. So, you know, once I kind of get that going, then you know, good things usually happen. So, and then we'll start incorporating everything else.
This is our first time seeing you in the spring, obviously. Are you typically a fast starter in spring training, or are you coming along quicker this year than you might have in years past?
I guess I don't know the answer to that. You know, I honestly don't even know as far as arm strength-wise exactly where I'm at, but I feel good, and, you know, just continue to try to build the pitch count up is the biggest thing.
Your off-season routine has obviously changed a bit because of the foot injury as well. It's obviously encouraging for you that you're able to do this without kind of going through some of those motions you would have done in past springs.
Yeah, exactly. It's you know, it's great to kind of it was a long off-season and a lot of physical therapy, but to be honest, I'm not thinking about it right now, and that makes it all kind of worth it and pay off. So I feel good. It's you know, it's not even in the back of my mind right now.
If it was up to you, and the choices were just between being a reliever here, being a starter in Buffalo, which would you prefer?
I'm a major league starting pitcher. I guess I'll leave it at that for right now. We'll have to let it play out.
There's Jay Happ, a major league starting pitcher, and he's right. He would be in the starting rotation of probably 27, 28 other teams in the major leagues, but not in Toronto. And he held his tongue beautifully, I thought, there. The look in his eye, the frustration you could see, the emotion. There was a lot more he wanted to say, and he didn't. And good for him for being a professional and doing that. He is not happy in his current situation, but he's also the best insurance policy there is in the big leagues. At the World Baseball Classic, Taylor Green drops a pop-up, but then throws out David Wright at the plate. It gets him in a rundown. And Shane Victorino grounds out, so they're going to the bottom of the second. Canada gets out of a second and third one-out jam. Thank you very much, Joe Torre, for asking Adam Jones to bunt. They're going to the bottom of the second inning. It is nothing-nothing. Canada and the United States' Justin Morneau is going to lead off the bottom of the second inning in this winner-take-all game. We are done for the day. Blue Jays fall 3-0 to the New York Yankees. Our next radio broadcast will be Saturday, March 16th from here in Dunedin, 12:30 Eastern time, as the Blue Jays take on the Baltimore Orioles. We are next on the web on Tuesday from Fort Myers. Blue Jays and Boston Red Sox run at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Justin Germano against Clay Buchholz. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Dylan Brown, Brett Armstrong, and Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. Good evening from Florida.